पठितु यच्चावहासार्थम सत्कृतोऽसि विहारशय्यासन भोजनेषु एकोतवाप्यच्युत तत्समक्षम् तत्क्षामये त्वाम् अहमप्रमेयम्. And then he continues in that same pattern. You know, he said, I insulted you. I'm so sorry. And yachya, and also, he says, avahasarth, as a joke. You know, I made fun of you sometime. I teased you. Asat kritosi, and I even insulted you. You know, I called you Buddhu. I called you Kresh. I insulted you, made fun of you, and made all kind of jokes at your expense. You know, kids do that. Friends, you know, they make fun of each other. And he says, in all different locations, vihara, while playing, he says, I called you a cheater, you know, because you won and I lost. So I got angry and I said, you cheated, you know. And that's why when we lose, either the opponent cheated or the refs cheated. In football, it is always the ref cheated us out of the game. You know, they always, he says, I called you a cheater, you know, and I feel so bad. And the Lord of the universe, I've called him a cheater. Oh my God. And he says, Shayya, and then in the bed, you know, we were wrestling, you know, as boys they do, they were wrestling. And I had some time, I was on top of you and I punched you and I pushed you down. Oh my God, you know, how could I have done that? He feels so bad. Asana. And he says, and we were sitting and talking and I didn't even respect you. And bhojaneshu, and sometimes we would be sitting and eating and I would order you around, you know, go bring this food or do this for me. And then he said, I made you get up and do all that. He feels so bad, you know. He's like, what did I do? You know, how foolish I was. Eko athwa api achut tat samaksham. And sometimes you were alone and I insulted you. That is bad. Tat samaksham. And sometimes in front of others, you know, I called you. And that is even worse. Like somebody will say, look, you know, you said this to me is okay, but next time, don't tell me in front of, like even your employee, you know, if you need to scold her, she'll say, don't scold me in front of the other employees, you know, call me in your office and scold me, because she doesn't want to be insulted in front of all the other employees. So if you have something to tell me, call me in your office and tell me. So he says, I not only alone, but in front of all the other people, I thought I was the king and you are just a cowherd boy. And in front of everybody, I insulted you. And he says, Achyuta, and he gives his name, Achyuta. Achyuta is one of Krishna's favorite names or one of his famous names, which means, A means no, Chyuta means fallen. That means he is not fallen, which means the Lord of the universe never falls from his grace, never falls from his height. You and I, you know, we get so involved with our vasanas and our tendencies that we do bad things, even though we are intrinsically divine, we have love, I mean, we have arrogance and anger and jealousy and greed, and, you know, we say mean things to somebody or do mean things, or, you know, so we fall from our grace. All of us potentially are Jesus. All of us potentially are Buddha or Mirabai or Vivekananda. We are all potentially divine, but we fall from our true status. But he says, Lord is Achyuta, he never falls. That means he is always in that divine state. He says, you Achyuta, O Lord, how could I have insulted you? And he says, Tat Kshamaye, I beg you to forgive me. I'm so sorry. Kshamaye, I beg you. Tvam aham aprameyam, and you are aprameyam. You are immeasurable. That's why they say the Lord can never be understood, can never be measured. You know, there is even way, way beyond this universe. That's why in Purushottam he says, Atyatishthat Dashangulam. The Lord entered the universe and then he extends. Dashangulam means beyond that, beyond where the senses can go, where the organs are. The speech cannot, even though we are trying to describe him, but speech cannot describe him. Eyes cannot see him, mind cannot think about him, intellect cannot get any concepts. So you are that aprameya, you are that immeasurable Lord, which pervades, you know, and then it, another place it says, na, that he entered. is the Lord entered the universe and also went, pervades beyond. So entered, we always think, entered means, okay, there is a room, so I entered the room. Like we were outside the center, so I entered. So it's not that the Lord pervaded or entered this universe. What it means is, when we say the Lord pervades everything, it does not mean that he was outside and he entered. What it means is, just as the ocean pervades all the waves, the ocean created the waves out of itself and pervaded it. The mud pervades all the pots. The gold pervades all the ornaments. So the Lord of the universe pervades everything. And what they mean by entered, what it means is that this consciousness alone was. So when the universe was created, when the body was created, the mind and intellect, the consciousness reflects in that. And that's how it gives life. So when they say entered, when they say pervading, what it means is that everything is nothing but the Lord. And to that Lord, I ask for forgiveness. I was reading another commentary on the Bhagavad Gita, and they said, you know, like even in the, when you go to church, you say, oh, forgive those, you know, forgive us for our trespasses, just as we forgive those that trespass against us. So we ask the Lord for forgiveness, but we are not ready to forgive others. So the Lord of the universe is there in all beings. So if I want to the Lord to forgive me for what I have done wrong, then I should be equally willing to forgive everybody else. If I'm not ready to forgive others, then I cannot expect forgiveness. So they say the highest manifestation of love is forgiveness. No matter what that person has done, it does not mean that you become a doormat and let the person keep on abusing you. But if somebody did something wrong and went away, and then we keep on dwelling upon it and letting it hurt us, then you are just prolonging the hurt. So they say just forgive it. And for a saint, it is like the incident never happened. At least you and I, you know, we say, he hurt me, I'm so angry. But it's okay, you know, I forgive him. Especially if we can't do anything about it. But they say, just as you ask the Lord for forgiveness, you should be ready to forgive the world. There's another very beautiful story about Saint Francis and about forgiveness. He was the epitome of forgiveness. I mean, as far as saintliness is concerned. So there's this beautiful story about Saint Francis, which I was reading. It says that when Saint Francis, and he had a brother Leo, who was one of his monks or one of his helpers. And so they were walking once. And in those days in Italy, you know, then they were in the northern part. It was snowing. It was very cold. And it was nighttime and they hadn't eaten that day. And you know how monks are. They don't have food and all the, whoever they go, if somebody gives them food, they eat. Otherwise they don't. So they were cold, they were hungry, they were wet, you know, with the snow and rain and all. And so they were walking. And so this brother Leo must be also evolved, because even in that situation, he wants to learn. So he asks, Father Francis, what is the best joy, the greatest joy I can get? You know, in the middle of suffering, he thinks about it. He must be a good person too. So what is the greatest joy I can get? So Saint Francis says, you know, if we could perform miracles and do whatever we wanted, that would not be the greatest joy. So, really? He says, yeah. Okay, then what can be greater joy than that? Greater joy than that would be if we had all the knowledge of the world. We could know how the animals talk and the birds talk and the plants, and we could communicate with them. But that would still not be the greatest joy. Okay, and what can be a greater joy than that? So if we could cure all the ills of everybody, all their physical problems, their mental, emotional problems, all the sorrows of the world, we could cure everything. Oh yeah, that would be a great joy. No, that would still not be the greatest joy. So what better joy can that be? You know, you can do miracles, you can cure the illnesses, you can remove all the sorrows, you have all the knowledge. He said, no, greater joy than that would be, right now we are cold and wet and hungry, right? And cold and snowing. He said, yeah. He said, now you see this monastery? We go knock on the door and the gatekeeper opens the door. He sees us. He hits us with a stick, calls us rascals and worthless fools. shuts the door and pushes us out into the snow and we fall down. And even then, if we can say, oh, may Jesus bless you, that is true joy. And you can forgive somebody even for no matter how, you know, we are hungry, but if the person hits us with a stick and kicks us out of his monastery, and if we can still bless that person and forgive him, that is the greatest joy. So that is what they say, that the greatest joy is in forgiveness. Because if you keep on holding the resentment, then you are hurting yourself and you are creating a negative. So that's why he says, oh Lord, I ask for your forgiveness. And that is very good. You ask for your forgiveness, but then in turn, you forgive others. So that is, kshama is that. True forgiveness is no matter what has happened, you don't even feel the insult. And that is the true kshama. So that is what he says. Oh Lord, please forgive me for all the things I have done, because I didn't know that you are this whole Lord of the whole universe and everything is in you. And that was my mistake. It's beautiful verses. You see the love that Arjuna has for Krishna, and you see how close their relationship was, and how, even though they have the situation of a teacher and a student, but the love is there, is very powerful. It's beautiful, very, very nice. The more I read the 11th chapter, I realize how little I know about it. It's so beautiful. It's very nice. Yes, I think so. Yeah, because when Arjuna was in distress and he needed help, Krishna helped him. Yeah, that's the epitome of friendship. Yes. Krishna had a lot of other friendships too. He had one with Sudama. Maybe next week we can talk about it. Sudama, everybody has heard about. That's another one. Yeah, but Krishna, yeah, I mean. Yeah, yeah, I think so. Yeah, he was closer to Arjuna. That's why he agreed to become his chauffeur, even though Krishna himself was a king. He was not, and he was the king of Mathura. He had his own kingdom. But when Arjuna asked him to be his charioteer, he agreed to do that. So that is out of love, yes, of friendship. And then when Arjuna had fallen apart, then Krishna comes to his rescue and gives him the 18 chapters of the Bhagavad Gita. Yes, it's very nice. So that's what the drama of Vyasa, who has written Mahabharata, this whole Mahabharata is full of such dramatic moments. And the Gita is one of them, especially the 11th chapter, is full of drama. And that's what I feel, that when you're reading the 11th chapter, don't just mechanically read it. I actually had memorized it a few years back. But I used to try and close my eyes and try to visualize that divine form, you know, like this kind of form. And I would think, Devi Surya Sahasrasya. Thousands of suns are shining in the sky, and that's the form. So when you do that, then the study of the 11th chapter becomes a prayer, because then you are not mechanically just reading the verses, but you are visualizing the form of the Lord as the Lord of the whole universe, and everything is in him, and all that beauty, and you know, all the everything is. So it's a very nice chapter. It's beautiful. Yeah, no, we are not saying that you become a doormat. You know, that if the person keeps hurting you, either you move away, either you can, like Eckhart Tolle says, you know, there are three ways to deal with a hurt. Suppose somebody is hurting you in his power of now, he said that. He said, one is you stay in the situation and change it. You know, that, okay, I have a job and, say I have a job and I have a bad boss, you know, who keeps hurting me. One is I can resign the job and move away. Okay, you move away from the situation. I have somebody who is hurtful, and I cannot resign the job. I need the job. Or if it's a spouse where I don't want to leave. So one is you leave the situation and walk away. Second is you stay in the situation and try to change it. That means if my boss is there, I try to talk to him. Or if it's my spouse, I try to talk. So either you move away from the situation or you try to change it. But if you cannot do either of them, I need the job, I can't move away, I can't leave the job, then you fully accept the situation as it is. Accept it 100%. Especially in spouse or such kind of things. What happens is that the resentment comes when we don't accept the person as that person is. The moment you accept the person as it is, automatically the resentment from that relationship goes down. It could be a boss, it could be a neighbor, it could be a co-worker, it could be a spouse. So, and part of that is forgiveness also. So then once you accept and you forgive, then your inner disturbance is not there. So we are not saying that you become a doormat. If it's a situation that needs to be fixed and you can fix it, you must fix it. Like if somebody is abusing the child, you move, take the child away from that person. You even have the authorities come and arrest him. All those things you have to do. But internally, there should not be any arrogance or hatred. So acceptance is, that page of Eckhart Tolle, I remember so many times. I've said it before also in these classes. That there are three ways to handle a situation.
Anger, resentment, is like drinking poison, expecting the other person.
This Muniji who comes to Bharti's house, you know, he speaks in Hindi, but he always talks about anger. That if you keep holding anger and resentment, all only person is being hurt is you. The other person may not even know it. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinaha. Sarve Santu Niramayah, Sarve Bhadrani Pasyantu, Ma Kaschid Dukkha Bhag Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namah. Hari Om.